This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Book of Revelation is a very mysterious record of symbols and images. Clearly, for many generations, these descriptions of seven seals and the seven trumpets, followed by the seven last plagues, have been points of intense controversy. Many individuals have come and gone, heralding that their understanding was the right one, only to find out that they too were wrong, like so many before them. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, well, they also have been described to mean many things over the years. The white horse and the red one, the black one, and the last being pale, many have taken opportunity to translate them, and yes, unfortunately, far too often, these interpretations have only led to more confusion. But what if there was a method of studying these narratives that would ensure our understanding was indeed correct? What if we could get the Bible to interpret itself and actually let the Bible explain these symbols and images? Well, stay with us as we explore this method of understanding on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello and again welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you again. You know, the Bible's filled with a variety of topics. From Genesis to Revelation, there's a lot of things that you can find in your Bible to help you have a better life. I mean, there's principles about child rearing. There's principles about finance. There's principles about hygiene and social interaction with other human beings, how to be honest, how to be truthful, things about that would help you to get along with other people a little bit better. The golden rule, you know, treat each other like you yourself want to be treated. I mean, we're all well aware of some of these principles that are in your Bible. There's history in your Bible. There are a lot of details about what happened to the nation of Israel and those nations that interacted with Israel. Very interesting reading with regards to the development of that whole culture and how one man, the man Abraham, who you could make a case, the whole Bible is really about his line, his lineage, his family, as he progressed down having sons of Isaac, and then Isaac having Jacob, and the grandson of Abraham, his name Jacob, being changed to Israel. As I say, you can make the case, the whole book is about one man's family. But you know, there's a topic in your Bible that really gets everybody's curiosity really riled up. It lights people up with all kinds of activity, motivation, compelling people to get really involved in certain investigative writings and studies that, frankly, a lot of people have made a lot of money on. Matter of fact, a lot of books have been written about it. Movies have been made about this one subject in your Bible that does indeed really draw on a lot of attention from a lot of people throughout the world. You know what that particular subject is? Prophecy. Oh yeah, my friends. Prophecy is a very, very compelling topic for one to be involved with. Because let's face it, we all want to know what the future holds. And what is prophecy? But history in advance. And lots of people are curious. They're intrigued over the idea of the future and what's going to happen in the future. Well, today I want to talk about prophecy a little bit, but in particular, specifically, about one segment, one particular aspect of prophecy today that I just want to really spend the rest of my time on. And that subject is the seven seals of Revelation. That's right, the seven seals of Revelation. But before I go ahead and begin to launch into this topic, let me go ahead and take a moment just to introduce to you our free offers on today's telecast. That's right. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 and ask the operator there for these two particular offers that we have on today's program. And let me emphasize, they are indeed free. One is titled The Introduction of Two, that is, The Introduction to Revelation Part 1 and Part 2. A second offer titled Seven Seals of Revelation. Both of these one-hour presentations, Part 1 and Part 2 actually are 2 hours. So you got a total of 3 hours coming at you here, and all 3 hours will certainly serve to enhance this particular topic in a far more comprehensive way than what I will be able to do here on this short half hour. So all you've got to do in order to obtain these free offers is to dial that number, as I said, or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. And oh, by the way, let me remind all of you about that webcast every Saturday. Just go to that homepage, hit us on that link with the time there will be stated, and you can rendezvous with us on a live presentation from a minister of the Church of God International or perhaps a visiting speaker from some other location speaking out on some topic of some biblical significance that hopefully will have some value for you in your own personal life. But one more time now before we get back to the program, 888-578-8791, ask for these particular offers, an introduction to the book of Revelation, Part 1 and 2, and the seven seals of Revelation. Both are free, and as I said, are also available there by ordering off of the internet at www.cgi.org. Okay, now let's get back to the program, as I was saying. Prophecy, and let me remind all of you, and I don't think I even really need to do that, but I will, is a very curious topic. But it's a very vulnerable topic. I mean, it is a topic that, let's face it, has been abused and misused in many, many areas. Sadly and unfortunately, a lot of people take liberties and what you could say exercise certain personal opinions in this area of prophecy by saying certain things mean certain things when in fact they don't. They make them up, and they sometimes try to illustrate that that's what it means to make it more interesting because it suits their own theology, and that's really not right. That's really not fair to you or to yourself, in if indeed you are truly trying to and sincerely looking to find and uncover the truth. So today I want to introduce to you a different method. I want to introduce to you a method that is going to provide us some guardrails. It's going to hopefully act as a governor. It's going to keep us on the grid, actually preventing us from going off the grid. And the method I want to introduce to all of us is allowing the Bible to interpret itself. That's right. The Bible should have an opportunity to interpret itself. And believe it or not, in this particular case, with regards to the seven seals of the book of Revelation, there is a means by which the Bible can definitely interpret itself as pertaining to this particular segment of prophecy. I want to introduce that to you here in a moment. But before I do, let me go ahead and introduce us to the book of Revelation over here in chapter 1 right off the bat to explain to all of us that this book is not the revelation of John the Apostle. It may be stated as such there, the headline or in the title sector there of the book of Revelation in your Bible, where it said in my Bible, the revelation of St. John the Divine. But I crossed that out and I said the revelation of Jesus Christ, because right off the bat, right from the get-go, look at here in verse 1 of chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? That's right. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is the Apostle John, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's right. John was nothing more than a conduit. These are not things that came out of John's mind and heart. They were things that came through John's mind and heart as a result of being told these things by Jesus Christ himself. These are Jesus Christ's revelations. Notice in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Three categories that regulated John's assessment, his judgment about what he was going to experience. The word, Jesus Christ's revelation, his actual communication to him, and all the things that he saw. And let me remind all of you, the word that John was using here to essentially lean on and to connect with and to lock up with was none other than the Old Testament. And most likely, in lieu of the fact that we're talking about prophecy, it is very fair to say and safe to say that he was locking into many of the things that the prophets also talked about. And you can make a very good case about that because the book of Revelation does connect very strongly with the book of Daniel. That's another story and another subject for another program. Point being that I want to make here is that the word that John was using to govern his perspective, his outlook on what he was about to see and what he was hearing from Jesus Christ himself was connected to the Old Testament because, frankly, that was the only scriptures available at the time. The New Testament had yet to be canonized. But at any rate, we continue in verse 3. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now notice this, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos, that is called Patmos, that is the isle that was called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That's right, on the Lord's Day. And what John is talking about here, my friends, is not a day of the week. Don't misunderstand the Apostle John. This is much bigger than that, far more significant than the day of a week. He's not talking about Sunday. He's not talking about a Sabbath day. He's not talking about Saturday. He's not talking about Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. He's talking about a summation statement of an event that this book describes in one or two words, and that is the Lord's Day. I guess that's three words, but the fact of it is a time that John wants to share with us that is, in summation, the actual description of the very intervention of God into human affairs. And in essence, consequently, the book of Revelation is certainly appropriately identified as the day of the Lord when God does indeed get involved in human affairs. Chapter 2 and 3 are about the churches and the messages that Jesus had to those churches on a mail route, starting at Ephesus and ending in Laodicea. Chapter 4 introduces us to the very throne of God, as well as chapter 5, but more specifically chapter 5, beginning now to set us up for the seals, for the book that is now going to unfold for the remaining chapters of this particular message that was given to John in vision form. Notice in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne," chapter 5, "a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." We're being told very clearly here, the book that John was given or seen had seven seals on it, indicative of the very fact that these seven seals expand across, they extend out across the whole book. In other words, much like a telescope, one section extends out to another section that extends out to another section. And as each, what you could say, act undertook, each act plays into the combination of the building and compounding of this event that ultimately climaxes in the return of Jesus Christ, the binding of Satan the devil, the establishment of the 1,000-year rule of Jesus on earth, and then ultimately the coming of the very Father of lights, the God of all gods, the one that Jesus himself concedes to and introduced to us as the Father comes to earth as described there in chapters 21 and 22. The whole book, my friends, is basically defined by these seven seals. Chapter 6 now begins to introduce to us the seals of the book of Revelation. And we go down through here, and we see a white horse that's described in chapter 6, verse 2. We see a second seal that's opened, described as a red horse in chapter 5, verse 4. Chapter 6, I'm sorry, in verse 4. And then we have in verse 5 a third seal. A third seal described as a black horse, and then, of course, in verse 7 of chapter 6, a fourth seal, which is described as a pale horse. four horses, a white one, a red one, a black one, and a pale one. Now, at this point, I could probably say anything I wanted to say, like a lot of other people say, and assign meanings to these four items, these four horsemen of the apocalypse, as so many have done. But that wouldn't be fair to you. Wouldn't be fair to myself. Because I would like to consider myself a pursuer of truth. And if I'm going to be fair to myself, I should allow the Bible to interpret itself. And so, consequently, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 24, because uniquely enough, Matthew, in chapter 24, and I'll only have time to go to chapter 24, but you can also read this same sequence of events in Mark 13, as well as Luke 21. But in Matthew 24, keep your finger, by the way, over here in Revelation chapter 6, because we're going to go back and forth as we go through this. But I want to point out something. Matthew 24 is essentially a chapter that Jesus goes ahead and describes a lot of things that are happening in the end times. He goes ahead and describes these events as they unfold as a response to a question of his disciples over on the Mount of Olives. And we pick the story up here in chapter 24 and verse 3, where he says, he sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came unto him privately, and they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming?" They knew that Jesus was going to return. Even after this first visitation, they were fully expecting him to have a second coming. And of the end of the cosmos, that Greek word means here age, end of society, doesn't mean about exploding up the planet. It means essentially the end of the order of things as we understand them. Well, Jesus responds from the get-go right out of the box here, and he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." He takes opportunity here to first and foremost warn them of deception, warn them of being conquered by deceit. He says here, "Many are going to come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." That means just that. Many are going to be deceived, not a few. And so Jesus here is warning his disciples very clearly that they could be easily conquered if they're not careful and vigilant about maintaining the truth and be deceived into going in a different direction that he did not intend them to go in. Well, notice over here, let me bring your attention back to Revelation chapter 6, where we read here, a white horse. We know Jesus is going to be returning on a white horse. That is right. And in this particular case, though, this horse has a bow and a crown. He's got a weapon and a crown. He's crowned like a king. He's riding on a white horse and was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. Now, the reason I say that this is corollary to Matthew 24 and in verse 4 and 5 here is because notice here in Matthew 24 and verse 6, the next one. Notice this. This is an interesting, very curious scenario and connection of Revelation 6 and Matthew 24, and I repeat, Mark 13 as well as Luke 21. Notice here, verse 6, chapter 24, book of Matthew, we read, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Back to Revelation chapter 6, verse 3, and we read, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, 'Come and see,' and there went out another horse, was red. Power was given to him that sat on him to take peace from the earth," peace from the earth, "and that they should kill." So we're going to have peace from the earth. People are going to be killed, and one another, they're going to kill one another, "and there was given unto him a great sword." There's no doubt, my friends, this is about war. It's describing this horse, this red horse that is going to take peace from the earth and kill people with a sword is about war. Obviously, it's very logical to consider that the first white horse is nothing more than a deceptive Christ, a false Christ that goes ahead and conquers people through deceit. And we need to be aware of that because that's part of the downfall of the Christian. That's part of the attack to the Christian in his lifestyle and in his way. People are indeed, that is, certain individuals, even amongst the Christian community, I'm sorry to say, are out to conquer through deceit. deceit for oftentimes very nefarious reasons, reasons for their own self-gain and profit so that they can pad their own pockets and their own bank accounts. But let's get back here to Matthew 24 and notice this. Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence." Notice that. "Earthquakes in different places." Notice over here, back to Revelation chapter 6 and in verse 5, the third seal. This is the third seal or the third horseman. It reads, "I heard the third beast say, come and see. I beheld, lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. A voice I heard in the midst of the four, and a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See that you don't hurt the oil and the wine." What's that all about? Well, it's simple. It's about a little bit of nothing, very slim and lean, measuring, making sure you don't lose what little you have, if you know what I'm talking about. It's talking about what clearly could easily be understood with the Bible interpreting itself and correlating Matthew 24 with Revelation chapter 6, with Mark 13, with Luke 21, because you're going to find the same sequence described in those other two synoptic gospels. My friends, it's unique in this sense that the Bible interpreting itself gives us clear meaning on these four horsemen of the apocalypse. And notice this fourth one, which is nothing more than a summary of the first three. Notice this in verse 7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice in the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." This is a colored pale. We had a black one before it, red one before that, and a white one before that. Three different horses, and now we have a pale one, the fourth one. Notice this. He says, "And his name that sat on him was Death and Hell." That's Hades. That's not a place where you have a lot of demons running around in red stocking suits with pitchforks trying to kill people for all eternity. That just simply means Hades, the grave. When you have dead people, you have graves. That's what we have here. We're seeing dead people, people being killed, and a lot of graves as a result being dug. And it says here, "followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword," war, the red horse, "to kill with hunger," the black horse, that's pestilence and famines, "and with death, and with the beasts of the earth," of course, in this particular case, adding that to the litany of events here that is going on. So here we have the four horsemen of the apocalypse, false prophets, as described and correlated in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, war and rumors of war. Thirdly, pestilence and famines, dead bodies dying around us. And then the summation of the fourth horse being basically how all of these combined build to a crescendo where one-fourth of mankind is destroyed. Now, a lot of press is not given to the fifth seal, which is not necessarily considered one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Nevertheless, it is a seal. It's the fifth seal. I want to go back to Matthew 24 here for a moment. I want to bring your attention to this. Notice this. Verse 8, after we mentioned about pestilences, after we mentioned about famines, we read this in verse 8. "All these are the beginning of sorrows, false prophets, wars, famines and pestilence, earthquakes in different places. These are the beginning," with the emphasis on beginning, "of sorrows." Now notice what follows. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you. They shall hate you for all nations, for my name's, for Jesus Christ's sake, for his name's sake. Then shall many be offended, betray one another. They shall hate one another." False prophets. He goes back and reiterates about false prophets. But I want to take you back to Revelation chapter 6. Notice what the fifth seal is, because what we had clearly just described in Matthew 24 is a Christian martyrdom. Oh yes, a Christian martyrdom. Notice in Revelation chapter 6 what we read the fifth seal to be. In verse 9, Revelation 6, notice, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of them," this is very symbolic, talks about in figure of speech, "them that were slain for the word of God over the course of history, over the legacy of mankind, souls, people, human beings, by the tens of thousands who were killed for the very word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice," figuratively speaking, of course, "saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge the blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. It was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Notice the sixth seal. The sixth seal are great earthquakes and signs in the sky, the sun and the moon turning black and red and so forth. All of this indicative of and connecting up with Mark 13 and Luke 21, showing the sequence of events of false prophets, wars, famines, pestilence, death, and the summation of literally the development of the crescendo of one-fourth of mankind being killed and a great Christian martyrdom as the outgrowth and result of this that results in the announcement of God's official intervention to mankind's affairs through signs in the sky. And you talk about blood moons, that's another story. But these are the blood moons, my friends, of your Bible, supernatural events announcing and declaring the intervention of God. Chapter 7 we have as a inset, but notice over here, way over in chapter 8, verse 1, notice, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." And then the next extension of events and conditions that are going to impact mankind in very horrific ways as God begins to build the momentum of this attention-grabbing experience that will ultimately culminate in the return of Jesus Christ landing on the Mount of Olives to establish his millennial rule as described in the book of Revelation chapter 20. My friends, time's run out on me. This story is just so fantastic throughout the whole book of Revelation. Get the two offers that we're offering you. This will give you a much more comprehensive overview of the whole book, an introduction to Revelation, part 1 and 2. 2 hours of introducing to you into far more detail about what this book really does involve. And of course, a presentation that goes right along the lines of what we've been talking about for the last half hour, the seven seals of Revelation. It, in combination with the introduction to Revelation, will certainly be able to enhance your understanding and insight into what this book really does indeed have to offer. My friends, this is Bill Watson. And reminding you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.